ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch out, bro! This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name is Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and compatriot in crime, John Romano. We are here in the midst of January, actually approaching the end of January. John, I just got back from the LA Fit Expo in rainy California, and I got to tell you, I had a good time. That was my first vacation in more than a year, actually.
Yeah, and I stayed here and got a walking pneumonia.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that cold here.
I know. I was doing great until you made that diagnosis, and then now you got me thinking about that.
Well, you're coughing, you got chest pain. Yeah, I would check it out. You know, people drop dead like that.
Can I just have something simple like a heart attack?
No, that's not good. That's definitely not good. But I will tell you this: when I got to California, it was like the monsoon season there. Everyone always, you know, it's funny. Every time I go to that Iron Man show, except for maybe like one year, they're always like, "It never rains like this here." I mean, torrential downpours. You know, they actually. You know how they close the schools here, John, if it's going to snow?
Right.
Well, they closed the schools there because of the rain.
Really?
Can you believe it? It wasn't that bad. No. They needed an excuse to do it.
You know, in all the years I lived out there, we never had a school closing from the rain. Yeah. Well, you know, L.A. does have the sort of added, you know, attribute of having things like mudslides and floods, and you know, the rain brings a lot of other problems in LA. So I can see that, you know, they would have a situation like that. But at least you were in Venice. You were down. You stayed at the Marina Pacific Hotel, and
call that anymore. But they actually made it absolutely beautiful.
Was it nice?
Beautiful,
really.
The guy. Remember, we were talking about last week about how I knew this guy who worked the front desk there,
right?
For years, and we used to get discounts. Well, he's still there.
Is he really? It?
Yeah, he's still there.
He remembered you.
He remembered me, and they, you know, I think the rate was like $170 a night or something like that for the rooms. And they said, "You want to up?" Another guy asked me if I wanted to upgrade for another like something like $80 or something like that to the premium rooms that they had. So I said, "Well, I don't want to spend $80." You know, I said, "I'll give you, you know, I'll give you $200." And I was even being like generous. I figured I'm only there two nights.
Right.
So the other guy's like, "Yeah, I just give it to him." So I think they charged me an extra $20, and I was in the premium room.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it was beautiful. They really like art decoed it out. And
really?
Yeah.
Now I remember I had stayed in there a couple times when they were premium rooms, but it was sort of like a two room suite and a kitchen.
It was just bigger.
And
all, it was just bigger. It was the same thing.
Right. But it had like a separate bedroom. It was really
right.
Nice.
No,
was,
I loved them when they were that big.
Yeah,
those were the rooms we used to get for $39
right.
a night. Yeah,
they were sort of like the home rooms in the DoubleTree in Columbus when we used to go to the Arnold.
Except they were very non-frilzy.
But at least you had a kitchen, which was
true,
which was good.
They got rid of the kitchens, but the rooms are very nice. They actually have a little where the Venice Cafe was down there. It's like a little restaurant which actually functions as room service. Believe it or not,
really,
yeah.
That's a new one.
And you know how you used to park your car around the back? We had to go up that gate, like went up by itself.
Yeah, underneath in the garage.
Yeah, well, you can't do that anymore. They have valet parking. Ooh. They nail you $25 a day for it.
Oh, my God.
So,
you know, a friend of mine just got back from Chicago, and they said they nailed him $50 a day for parking in the hotel.
Wow, really?
That's so insane. He was a ripoff. He thought he was getting a deal because he got his room off Hotwire. And he got a 4-star hotel for, you know, $59 or whatever. And he ended up driving there, and he had to rent a car, parking the rent a car, and it cost him, they charged him $50 a day.
Wow. That's crazy. That's insane.
That's crazy.
You know, after we did a show a few weeks ago, we were talking about the world's tallest building opening up, the Burj Dubai.
Right.
Well, Ali Amini, one of our Middle Eastern correspondents there, we get on here a lot. You know, he helps a lot of these guys with drug cycles and
right.
shows. And he's got three world champions actually coming in for the Arnold to do the Arnold Amateur. We'll be doing a lot of. He's going to actually come into our studio to do some.
Oh,
interviews.
Is he coming
yeah,
in?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. He's a great guest.
Yeah, he is. Well, he sent me an email after he heard that show, and he told me that they actually changed the name of the tower to the Burj Khalifa. And I guess that refers to the tower. You know, Burj means tower, and Khalifa refers to the ruler of the United Arab Emirates. So it's that's the new name of the hotel. And it's he said it's 150 stories. Anyone who wants to, like tourists, you know, like fans and people like that, can go up to the 125th floor, but they can't go to the top.
Wow.
And it has the highest mosque in the world.
No kidding.
Which is, you know, And it also has the highest swimming pool in the world. So
now, can he get us a deal in there? Because I think those rooms start at like $5,000 a night.
Probably. We probably might be able to get a tour. That's about it. Now, according to what he said, the power source for, you know, or the electricity for the whole Persian Gulf region. You remember how you were telling me they were going to run out of oil in 50 years?
Right.
He said that's not true. It's 70 years.
Oh, 70
they still
years.
Have the most oil of any reserve anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Including the U.S.
But they are running out.
Yeah, what they're working on supposedly is a nuclear solution, believe it or not, which they think is going to be implemented in the next 5 to 10 years. They're going to have nuclear power there.
Wow.
I don't know if they have a different nuclear plant than they've been using or what, but, you know, knowing with all the money they're pumping into it, I'm assuming that they'll solve the problem.
But they're not going to export nuclear energy. They're going to...
Well, they'll just fuel their fridge and keep selling us the oil until it runs out, and then they won't need it anymore. Wow. So,
what a racket.
Yeah, you think so?
I still would love to go there. I think that place is so beautiful.
Yeah, I'd like to, too.
If there's anybody listening out there that has any reason to get us out there...
and pay for it,
and
too.
Pay, you know, or engineer a way that we can, you know, recoup, you know, by being there.
Right.
We would love to go.
Sure, we'll do
UAE.
A few seminars and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, man. Dubai is the place to be.
Well, we'll talk to Ali Amini when he comes here because, like I said, he's going to make a stop over here in New York and talk to us a little bit and give us some insight into some of the Middle Eastern techniques. Now, like I said, I was out there at the LA Fit Expo this weekend, and you know, I wasn't going to go out there first, and then I said, you know what? I had a feeling, a sneaking suspicion that it might be better than people were billing it to be, and my suspicion paid off. Even though it did rain on Thursday and Friday, the expo didn't open until Saturday, and on Saturday it was beautiful. Believe it or not, they were actually having a talent search for America's Got Talent.
Wow.
In the same LA Convention Center. So as you can imagine, it was an absolute zoo there.
Well, that convention center is gigantic.
Yeah, it still did, wasn't filled up, but there was a lot of people in there.
It's like a whole entire block.
But you know what? John Balik of Iron Man has got to be thrilled, and I interviewed him. We'll have that up a little later, probably today. And he was really happy because I got to tell you, there was a line for tickets that was wrapped around the building. You know what? If I didn't have press passes, I probably would have left.
Wow.
Either that or I would have tried to cut the line probably. Well, but
don't do that. We have another story about cutting lines
later exactly. on.
But now, just to give our listeners some sort of perspective of dimension, compare the size. When you say it was huge and big and all of that, give us a comparison to, let's say, the Arnold Fitness Expo or the Olympia Expo. Would you say it was half, a quarter?
Probably... half the Olympia Expo.
Wow.
I guess maybe a quarter of the Arnold.
That is
it was pretty big. It was spread out a lot. I mean, because the place is actually too big for them. They said that I think next year they're going to be moving in a smaller hall. But they had the MMA. I like when it's spread out because it kind of gives you a little bit more space to move around. Because on Saturday, early afternoon, it was packed in there.
No kidding.
We were having trouble. You know, you had to push your way through to get, you know, down the aisles. And I think that, you know, based on the success of it, I would probably think a lot of companies would probably... maybe make the investment and go there. And Balik had a good point. He's holding it in January so that it's not too close to the Arnold because no one's going to do two shows in a row like that. It's too expensive, right. You know, from week to week. But you know what? 2 months apart, you know, January's kind of like dead. Everyone's trying to recoup their losses from December. I think it's a good idea. And they had like the bodybuilding.com was, I think, the main sponsor. They had their spokesperson model search that was going on there. They had the top five women, the top five men from voting on the website there. And they crowned two overall winners. And, you know, it was a lot of excitement. They had a lot of events. There was MMA fighting. There was powerlifting. There was a lot of action going on there. And I didn't even stay for Sunday.
No, who are some of the notables that you ran into?
Well, the first, ALR had a small booth there. Arthur was not there, with his staff was there. And Aaron Singerman had a little computer set up there where they were going to do the live remote radio show from Off Topic, which I did a few minutes on there. I think I did about 10, 20 minutes on there.
Cool.
And the connection wasn't the best. I really couldn't. I actually, Jeff will probably get a kick out of this. I actually had to be Skyped in. So I was like...
I was talking like this, you know, and I couldn't really hear what anyone was saying, but
I actually was officially on the Skype, Aaron Singerman's Skype computer. Well, let's get back to the Fit Expo. So Aaron was there representing Off Topic and helping to promote some of the ALR, and I know he was getting a lot of guests. I saw he had Ben White was on there. At one point he had, I believe, Lionel Brown. He had a whole lineup.
Oh, Lionel was there?
Yeah, he was there. Was it Lionel Brown? Yeah, I think it was, yes. And I don't know if he ever got Ronnie Coleman. I know I interviewed Ronnie Coleman. I'm going to be putting up his interview first, probably, on the site. Bill Comstock and I, it was like old times there.
Was it?
Yeah, him and I were running around, you know, doing interviews. And I think people, I saw Sean Ray. I think he was a little pissed off about the fact that Bill was working with me.
Now, why would he be pissed off?
I have no idea.
The guy got fired. He's a free agent. And now what, he can't come back and work with you? Yeah. That, you know. Sean, you know, I think
Bill's a freelance guy now. I think he's going to do some stuff with Flex Magazine too. I think Bill is a talent, and anyone, you know, he should be able to charge by the, you know, whatever he does.
Was he wearing an RX Muscle shirt?
Of course he was. Well, he actually asked for one too. Actually, Bill looks like a new man. He lost about 50 pounds.
Oh, good.
He's eating healthy. He's working out. He got his eyes fixed. He doesn't even wear glasses anymore.
Wow.
I mean, it was like a different Bill Comstock, seriously.
Well, he's probably got a new lease on life. He's probably not so stressed out anymore.
Yes, I think he was heading down a very bad pathway if he would have stayed there.
So. What an interesting commentary on you know, the condition that he was putting himself under for you to notice such a, you know, major improvement in his appearance and his health versus how he was, you know, when he was where he was.
Right. Well, Bill lives in like paradise. He lives right on the boardwalk there.
Yeah.
Right on, I don't know if you're familiar with that area there, on Palmona, and it's like one block over from Pacific. It's like literally like right next to the boardwalk.
Yeah.
And he's got a little one bedroom there. It's real cute. I mean, there's so much action.
On the walk streets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I loved it. I said, Bill, man, you got the paradise here. You know, he doesn't drive, but he rides his bike everywhere, so it's good exercise for him.
If you live there, you don't really have to drive that area.
No, he's got everything right at his disposal there. So. Wow. Anyway.
So did you go to Gold's Gym?
I went to Gold's Gym. I trained there. On Thursday, it was a little dead there. But then on Friday, people started trickling in from, you know, all over the place. I saw Mike O'Hearn there and Jerome Ferguson. And, you know, who else did I see there? Will Harris, who I thought hated me. You know, remember that?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. What happened?
I actually took a picture with him. And I said I wanted to put this on RX Muscle to prove to everyone that you don't hate my guts. And he looked very confused, like he didn't know what I was talking about. So, you know, he might have made those comments to Muscle Mag. When he was in a bad mood or something like that, because we were talking, we were fine with each other. So,
you see Charles Glass?
I saw Charles Glass, who was training several people there. He was training the White Rhino, Stan Efferding, who we're going to have on the show a little later. Mm. Stan's got like 4 or 5 weeks left to the Phoenix Pro Show, which is going to be his pro debut. And Charles was, you know, putting him through this grueling leg workout, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy, you know, repetitions, crazy angles, all over. You know how Charles does it. And Charles says his business is bad. Will Harris told me the same thing. Business is crazy there. They have not felt the recession whatsoever.
Well, you know, typically, you know, in bad economic times, those categories, those sectors of the economy that deal with, you know, self-preservation, health, self-improvement, you know, beauty, things like that, where you make yourself feel good about yourself, tend to be the most recession-proof sectors of the economy, because when all things are down, people want to feel good.
Right. They won't go on vacation, but they'll do personal training.
Sure.
And in that area, this is money. If you can't, LA is so, people are so into the way they look. If you can't get, you know, clients there, then you're not a good trainer.
Especially Venice. Venice is not the Venice that I landed in 1979. No. It is an absolute, completely different animal now. It's where tons and tons and tons of money there now.
You know, speaking of the old Venice, you know, I ran into Rich Mintzer.
You know? Did you really?
Yeah, who used to
Gold's Gym.
Yeah, run Gold's Gym there. And from what he told me, you know, I guess Gold's, did you know Gold's was sold?
Yeah.
I mean, it was sold, but then it was sold again.
The guy from Texas owns it now, who owned the Omni Hotels.
The people who bought Gold's from Ed Connors paid Ed like 30, I think 40 million
bucks. Right, and then this guy paid 153 million.
Ridiculous amount of overpaid, way overpaid. And they know nothing about the gym business.
He's the same guy who owns Omni Hotels. He's from Texas.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Evidently, to me, you know what? The gym did not look that impressive. It looked kind of dirty a little bit. The machines looked old, like they needed, you know, to be replaced. And it wasn't the Gold's Gym I'm used to, but you know what? It still had that you know, that magic, because it's just, you just go in there and you just feel like you're in like Disneyland.
I was there 2-3 months ago, and I went out to see Chris Bell and trained there a couple of days. And I had lived right around the corner and trained there for 20 years. And, you know, I went back in there, and man, it just didn't feel anything like it. They you know, remodeled the place. It looks a little too slick. And it's funny, I ran into Ed Connors.
Oh, really?
you know, at the last show we were at in Northern, I guess last year, and we were talking about it, and he said, you know, I said,
the Olympia.
Right, at the Olympia. And I asked him, you know, what did you think of the New Golds when you went back in there? And he told me that he walked inside, looked around, went outside, and vomited in the bushes.
Yeah, you know, they ruined the whole Golds.
They wrecked it.
Yeah.
They wrecked it.
It's a shame.
I mean, they got all those great pictures on the walls that kind of... Didn't they put him back?
Nope.
They didn't put it.
No.
He's in the one, though, the Artie Zeller photo.
He's in that one Artie Zeller, yeah, but it's a bunch of guys. It's not just him.
It's a montage. It's a mural kind of thing.
Right, above the locker room,
Yeah. Well, Franco's in it. Him, Franco, and I don't know.
Louis. It's Louis. Him, and Serge.
Right. Serge Dupri.
No,
Sergio Oliva.
No, Serge Dupri,
yeah.
It's from that Pumping Iron, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. But it is an Art Zeller photo.
Yep.
Anyway, look. Golds will always be Golds. I still felt like, you know, really enthusiastic there.
It's the hugest, most greatly equipped gym that you'll probably ever go to.
And you know me, I can't wait to get in and out of the gym now. But you know what? I wanted to actually stay there and do extra stuff. It was like, it really motivated me to train.
Their cardio room is very impressive in the back there.
Yeah, that's what they cater to now, cardio people.
Well, there's probably 500 pieces of cardio equipment in that room.
Yeah, at least. It's huge. I liked it better when it was all those little tiny rooms.
Above the locker room, they had all these little nooks and crannies.
It wasn't open like it is now.
It was great back in those days when they used to open that big garage door in the back and that sea breeze would blow through there, and you'd have 20 guys getting ready for, you know, the Nationals of the USA.
The posing room you had to get the key for,
you know, because God knows what went on in that room.
Well, you know, at the expo, actually, I ran into Brandon Curry, who was getting ready for the Tampa Bay Pro. He's looking big and large.
Uh-huh.
We got an interview with him at the BSN booth.
How did you get an interview with a flex athlete?
Well, we did a BSN commercial, essentially.
Oh, okay.
You know, we talked about a lot of the new products he was on, and you know, he seems to be pretty confident going into that. Into that first pro show, and I think it was smart. He took some time off. He looks like he put some size on his arms. Look like they're like 23 inches. Jeez. They're enormous.
Soul brother number one.
Yeah, and speaking of big arms, Ronnie Coleman was there as well. He was sitting at the company where they do it's like a certification, personal training certification booth. Profta. And he was at that booth, and I interviewed him, and he's told me he just took 3 months off. You know how he always does his three months off every year? I said, Ronnie, what the freak do you do when you take all that time off? Because I know that this guy loves to train. He's like, well, I eat and I watch TV and I go eat again and I go watch TV and, you know, I go back, I go eat again, you know.
Now, he made some kind of huge announcement to you. I mean,
yeah, he said he's definitely doing the Olympia.
I'm
definitely doing the Olympia.
This Olympia.
He feels that his injuries have healed and that he's going to be able to train the way he needs to. And he's not making any predictions, but he says that he feels he will be, you know, among his best, you know,
conditioned. 2010 Olympia.
Yes.
He's going to compete.
Yeah. I guess he figures, you know what? I beat Jay before. I can beat him again. So,
you know, he got some things fixed. So who knows?
Maybe. He looked big and he hadn't trained for 3 months. So that just goes to tell you what kind of genetics the guy has. I guess if he gets back in the gym, assuming, you know, my thing is, if he can get his back where it was again,
right,
or even close, now he's got a shot. If he can't, then I think he's going to be in trouble.
But what about the KC masterpiece?
I don't know if he's deleting that.
No, he said this time around he won't be able to diet with it.
Oh, really?
He didn't know if he could do that.
Oh, well, you know, Ronnie's not afraid to sacrifice, you know. He'll do whatever it takes. I also ran into my good friend Abbas Khatami, who's found out, I guess, that, you know, he was having a chest and a tricep problem on stage. A lot of people telling him they were undersized, and he said he had his neck. He had some compression in his neck he didn't know about, and he's going for that decompression therapy where they kind of stretch you out. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. Now he's starting to feel his triceps again. So this guy might be dangerous in 2010. I think he's going to say he's going to wait to the North American. So look out for Abbas, and he's single again, John. So he's on the loose. The Persian missile is targeting a lot of. It was going after a lot of targets at that expo hall.
Now what was the target environment like at this expo?
There was a lot of very, very, very beautiful women there. I must tell you, more so than I've seen at any show in recent memory.
Really?
Yes.
And were they playing?
I don't know. My problem was I didn't stay long enough. I was there Saturday and I left Saturday night. But you know, if you had, you know, someone like the Persian Missile, probably, I'm sure he closed some deals on Saturday night. You know, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, now, typically, LA draws that, you know, super elite group, you know.
I was very pleased. I'm going to put some pictures up a little later, and I did a couple interviews with the model search girls, and I think people will be very very pleased to see what I saw.
No, they came from all over, those models.
Yeah, all over the country. Virginia Beach, some Canada, some from San Francisco. Actually, one from San Francisco who Jeff knows, Sasha, who's friends with Chris Zimmerman. She works for Yahoo, John. She's like an executive assistant over there.
Really?
Making big, big bucks. Yeah, and she's hot as hell. So she's got it all together. So, she didn't win, but she was one of the interviews we did. I'm sure people will enjoy.
A hot girl that makes big money.
Yeah, and lives in California. Wow. Can't go wrong with that,
right? Can't go wrong there.
I ran into Scott Mendelson, too.
Really?
Who's...
How much did he weigh?
Scott Mendelson told me that he was up to like 390 at one point. And he was so uncomfortable that he dropped down, and he set the world bench press record at 275 pounds. He benched 1035.
Now what Keneally did?
Now Keneally did 1075 or 79, but at a slightly higher body weight. So Mendelson had gone for the record at the Ironman. He missed, but he said he's gotten 1200 in the gym.
No shit.
Now that's a big difference from 1200 to 1100, but from what he tells me, I guess when the season starts up again for him in June, he's going to go for 1100 bench, you know.
Wow.
And he looked, this is a guy who was a bodybuilder originally, switched to powerlifting. He's not a fat guy. He looks like the guy from Fantastic Four, the Thing. And right. I mean, the guy has got muscle on top of muscle. I mean, he's so wide, his back and his chest, that it's intimidating to look at him, actually.
Efforting is big like that.
Yeah, but Mendelson is just a bench monster, really, you know.
God, 1,200. Now as big as he is at that weight, just think of our friend, little Jimmy Pelletia, at 240, heaving 1,000 pounds.
Speaking of Jimmy Pelletia, do we want to tell the Jimmy Pelletia story, or do we want to say that for after hours?
I think that story is so good that it needs at least a teaser so that people will make sure they tune in.
Let me finish talking about the FedEx one, then we're going to go back to Pelletia, because this is one of the most crazy stories I've ever heard. So, well, not really, but I thought Jimmy had calmed down in his old age, and evidently not. Now, I ran into Mo El Moussaoui, from New Zealand,
right,
who hadn't trained since the Olympia, actually, and he still looked pretty good. He was a little downsized, but he tells me this year is his final year. He's competing one time at the New York Pro, and then he's calling it quits. He's going to concentrate on his family. You know, the guy owns like 13 nutrition stores in New Zealand. He just opened up like 5 or 6 here in the U.S. He's doing well financially. He says, I want to quit while I'm on top, and, you know, I still have my health. So he's a good guy. He gave me some free supplements, and, you know, I'll be putting up an interview with him as well on the site. And I ran to Kiyoshi Moody, you know, whose new main squeeze is our very lovely, good friend and species endorsed athlete, Julianne Kula.
Wow.
I know you were hot to trot for her for a while, but she is taken now. Kiyoshi moved her all the way out to Southern California. I think they actually moved. Kiyoshi was from San Diego. They moved south of San Diego because she wanted to be on the water someplace, you know. So the two of them are in love, and they're living the life in Southern California there. And
good for them.
Yeah, I want to just wish them the best of luck. Julie actually might be doing she'll be at the Species booth at the Arnold Classic, but she's also going to, they asked her to do the New Zealand show, which is, I think, the week after or 2 weeks after the Olympia.
She's going to New Zealand.
She might do it, yeah. She's going to let us know, and Kiyoshi will be getting ready for the Team Universe again. He's going to move up to the heavyweight class, so good luck to both of them.
While you were talking about Julie Kula, then you have to mention the fact that your other insanely hot species athlete, Nicole Ball, is on her way to India.
That's right. She's doing an Indian appearance. I asked her why she didn't take me instead of her girlfriend, and she's like, I didn't know you wanted to go. I don't know if I would survive in India with the food, though, John.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So
a lot of basmati rice.
You know how I feel about carbs, too. So they have meat there, right there. They're into a lot of dairy products, though, right?
I don't know. I've never eaten there.
Isn't the cow sacred there?
The cow is sacred. Yeah, I think you can eat chicken, though.
Oh.
Yeah, now, fish.
A lot of fish. Fish is great for you.
Now, Nicole is going there to sort of administer to the poor. She's going to go.
Oh, really?
Well,
she's giving out a trophy.
She is. She's going to do a bodybuilding thing, but she told me she's also laying in a lot of supplies for the kids. She's bringing cases of lollipops and coloring books and clothes and just suitcases full of stuff, you know, coloring books and pencils.
She should
go
to Haiti. She shouldn't be going to India.
I guess the India trip was set up ahead of this before the earthquake hit. But no, I think that's a really good, you know, it's great to hear when bodybuilding. County Building, you know, has ambassadors that are doing those kinds of things,
yeah,
and, you know, giving back and, you know, taking care of the poor or the underprivileged or whatever.
And who said women bodybuilders don't get any gigs anymore, right?
But those kids will never forget this.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. Mm-hmm. You know?
Good for her. I'm glad that the women bodybuilders are getting some opportunities finally.
Yeah, me too.
I ran into Peter Putnam working at the Champion Nutrition booth. He's
good
doing
guy.
Well. He's getting putting on size for the, later this year. Silvio, I ran in at the bodybuilding.com booth, and he told me he's taking a year off. Can you believe it?
How's he going to manage that?
He told me he needs to put size on. He wants to win the bigger shows. I said, Sylvia, you're already winning like the smaller shows. He's not happy with these $10,000 shows. He wants to win the big ones like the Arnold and stuff.
But he enters like seven a year.
I know. Well, he's not doing anything this year. He's taking the whole year off.
How many? What was his record? 9 shows? 13 shows?
I think he'd be better off continuing to do that. I think that, you know, do you think Silvio could ever pack enough muscle on where he's going to be a dominant force to win the Arnold Classic?
No.
I don't think so either. But, you know, you can't doubt anyone these years. He must have something in mind. Someone must have talked to him about, you know, possibly, you know, maybe giving his body a rest. Maybe he was a little, you know, fatigued from doing all these shows. That's a hard thing to do, is just compete that many times.
Silvio's got crazy sick genetics. It wouldn't surprise me that if he took time off and stopped dieting and, you know, he's made incredible changes in his physique. Yeah. Remember, our old boss was convinced that he couldn't get cuts in his quads?
Yeah, no separation.
No separation.
Yeah. Dummy. Yeah. And then he went on to win like six pro shows.
Yeah. And with miraculously separation in his quads.
It was Milos. Milos was ruining him.
Yeah, it ruined him. Yeah.
But
insulin.
Milos with the insulin, yeah. I ran into an old friend, Danny Hester, John.
No, did you really?
Danny Hester was running around with no shirt on. He developed some new training apparatus that I, because of my shoulders, I wasn't having very much success utilizing. But it's something that hooks onto your doorway, and you could do it in the house. It's gonna be an infomercial, I guess. And
wow.
he designed the whole thing himself. And it looks like he could make some money on this thing. You know, I'm always for when I see these bodybuilders that become entrepreneurs. You know, Frank Zeppi's doing very well in Home Shopping Network. Danny Hester might be the next big infomercial star.
Wow. You know, my old training partner, Dean Tornabene from the 80s, was, you know, just a regular personal training guy down in Venice. He ended up hooking up with the right people, designed some kind of piece of equipment, had somebody build it, and one thing leads to another. They were successful. He did something with Jake Steinfeld and on. Now the guy's a freaking billionaire with a B.
What, billionaire?
Yeah, billionaire.
Dean Tornabene?
Yep.
I mean,
1985.
Where do you make all his money from?
It's a diet product first, and then he went on to some piece of exercise equipment, that ab swing or ab roller rocker or whatever, one of those things.
Good for him.
You know, back in the day, he was one of the first, you know, and he got hooked up with one of those big, you know, infomercial production companies that pushed him, mm-hmm. and he had them as clients, and you know,
oh, good.
It's possible, folks.
Yeah,
get yourself a good idea and hook up with the right people, and God knows what you can do.
Good for him. I'm always for it. Well, you know, this usually the Iron Man is the first show of the year that launches all the shows. Obviously, there was no Iron Man Pro this year. From what I hear, Flex Magazine is going to be having their own show next year, which is going to take place 2 weeks before the Arnold. It will replace the Iron Man. It will take the 5 qualifying spots that the Iron Man had. To me, I talked to John Bale. Like, I don't think he's interested in promoting bodybuilding shows anymore. I think he really wants to concentrate on this expo. He knows that you can't hold a bodybuilding show in January and be successful, but he knows that the expo needs to be held in January. So he's going to focus on that. There's one thing I wanted to bring up, John, because we were just talking about it a little earlier, and you know, this whole thing about, and Jeff probably knows more about this than we do because he's into the whole comic book thing. They're redoing all these old movies, and some of them are not even that old. Batman was redone. Now I hear Spider-Man. They're not going to do another Spider-Man. They're going to redo it like it's like the first one again. And what do you think about this? Don't you think it's kind of stupid? I heard they're going to do it with the Hulk. You know, they just don't want to. I guess after they did Star Trek and they started over, it was such a success that they decided, we're going to start doing that with all these movies.
First of all, the reason why they had to redo Batman is because the series just went to shit after they brought in Robin and, you
true,
know.
True, but that was a long time anyway.
Right, exactly. Yeah. A lot of time passed, so therefore it was time for a reboot. When they tried to redo Hulk, obviously they failed the first time. They tried to do the second time. But with Spider-Man, I think that they're just doing it to cut back on costs. I mean, they're only going to put $80 million allegedly into the new reboot.
Right.
And they're going to use unknowns. Whereas you had Tobey Maguire, you know, pulling in $200 million. You had, you know, Kirsten Dunst, who played, you know, like the other role, taking in a couple of hundred million. So they're doing it to save money. They know people like me are going to be dumb enough to go to the movies to watch a Spider-Man movie.
Do you think it'll be better or worse?
I don't know. I mean, but how many times can you watch the same thing be redone by other people?
Especially when it just happened a couple years ago.
Right, right, right.
I heard they're redoing Jurassic Park now.
It's crazy.
I love the first Jurassic Parks. I mean,
there was nothing wrong with it.
What would you, other than digitalize everything, which might make it look even more fake.
Right.
I mean, what change in the story are you going to do?
Are they that out of ideas that we have to do everything over again?
I think that's what it is. I think they have no new ideas.
I mean, James Cameron hit such a huge home run with Avatar that even
it was
though,
original. That's
even,
why,
even though it was a total ripoff to go see it, but
I haven't seen it yet.
$26 for me and Max.
You have to buy the 3D.
You
got to
buy the freaking glasses.
Yeah. I just think this whole the rebooting of movies is annoying.
It's annoying to me too, because especially from us being in the creative aspect, we have so many ideas. You know, Chris Bell and I, along with our buddy Rick Collins, were shopping around an idea for another documentary or perhaps a TV series. Right. And you know, it was by all the production companies we brought it to, they loved the idea. It was a great thing, but the networks and the movie companies wouldn't go near it. But here they are redoing the same movie four times.
Right, and then they're like, we have nothing new. We don't know what to do with it.
Well, people are bringing in new stuff all the time, and you got to make, you're going to Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, and Jurassic Park. We're going to have 17 versions of those movies.
You got to come out with Bodybuilding Man. You see, the key is to put man at the end of the title.
I won't go by, even watch that new Friday the 13th movie, because I know that it's going to be the exact same thing as it was, 20 years ago. I mean, how much can you change the story?
You'd think with the amazing talent pool that we have out there that right. they would be able to conjure up original ideas and programming. What they're doing is they're basically banking on the fact that, hey, I love the first one, so I'll love right. the second one, right. or at least they'll buy the second one, because now it costs $700 billion to make a movie, you know, and
agreed.
You know, they want to hedge their bets.
Yep, I agree. All right, well, we got a great show tonight. We got Chris Aceto, who's got some very opinionated things to say about the upcoming Phoenix Pro Show and the athletes that he's working with. We got big Stan Efferding, the White Rhino, who I ran into at Gold's Venice, and I want to get him on. He's got 4 or 5 weeks left in his preparation for the Phoenix Pro, his pro debut. He's got also some controversial things to say, especially about the upcoming next year's World's Strongest Bodybuilder contest. And it's going to be a great show altogether. But let's go to some commercial breaks, John, and let our sponsors be heard. And we'll be back in a few minutes.
All right. See you in 2 weeks.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
With the world crying. crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of three creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught. Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today. Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with four great G-A-T products. Pre-workout Jet Fuse NOX. For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights. Post-workout Jet Mass. After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover. Premium protein, Muscle Teen. Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended-release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training. Shred and burn under Jet Fuel Pyro. Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed. Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit IsatoriTech.com or GNC to start fueling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint. Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
This is Colonel Strawman Derek Poundstone. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with Dave Palumbo and John Romano.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
All right, Dave, our next guest is the master guru and the founder of ProCard Nutrition. I'm talking about none other than our friend and Heavy Muscle Radio regular, Chris Aceto. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Well, it's good to be back. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been before the Olympia.
That's right. That's how fast time goes, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, I think we had him on after the Olympia, actually.
Did we?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did. See? That's how fast my memory goes.
We need his sarcastic, you know, commentary about what happened at the Olympia. Don't forget, John.
Right.
Oh, well, I can spin my sarcasm on anything.
Well, just make sure you just keep it constant through the whole show, because we don't want people to, take you seriously at any point.
Well, I was going to, when you welcomed me onto the show, I was going to say, well, thank you, Dan and Bob, for welcoming me onto the
show. But you're not welcome on that show, are you?
You'd hear the crickets in the background.
Yeah, you're welcome there, aren't you?
I've never been on. This is the only show I've ever been on.
Yeah, he doesn't go on other shows.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't go on any shows.
No one understands him like you do.
No one invites me. Yeah, that's right.
We understand his true genius, or either that or his complete insanity.
You throw me curveballs, and I take them as fastballs.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm surprised the other show didn't have you on.
Well, everyone's got a little radio show these days. You know, everyone's got a radio show going, a magazine, a supplement line, or this or that. I can't keep up.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even keep up who's good in bodybuilding. One show, someone's great. The next show, you know, everyone says he stinks. The next show, he's he's up, he's down, he's down, he's up. I don't know who's good, who's bad.
That's why we're segueing to TV. I think radio's dead.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
you guys went on to see great. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to bring in, send the limo for you or something like that,
Yeah.
It all sounds
or,
odd.
Or John's truck or something like that, something to that degree.
I'll tow you over.
I'll tow you, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chris, you're, speaking of your guru prowess, you are working with Troy Alves, of course, for the upcoming Phoenix show. And,
Grandfather Troy, fastest metabolism on the Grandfather in the United States, best build for Grandfather in the United States too.
We announced that when we had him on the show. I think you did.
That's why I got it from. I stole it from him.
You know what we figured out, because Flex Wheeler was a grandfather, but I think when he became a grandfather, he had stopped competing already, so he wasn't no longer the best built one.
Well, he might have been in his early 30s too.
That's true. It's possible.
Great genetics at work there. Yeah. But, Troy is, by your admission, going to, and I'm quoting Dave here, because I think he spoke to you about it.
This is a quote right from Chris's email.
Right from his email. Okay. And I quote, Troy is going to blow Hide back to China. Now, I assume you're talking about Hide Yamagishi, who is from Japan. And, depending on which direction you're traveling, China could be farther away than Japan. So is that how badly you think Troy is going to beat him? That he will be blown right past, Japan into China?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, I know he's from Japan, but if you blow him right off the stage, he just keeps on going.
So he actually ends in the...
That is my cynicism from the point being really in that, if you... is Troy should have beat him in Atlantic City, period. Nobody can tell me who was at that show that Hyde beat him.
Right.
You guys know that. I mean, you're a straight shooter. If it is, it is. May the best guy win, but he should not have beaten him there. And I thought Hyde was overrewarded at the Olympia, too.
I actually saw Hide in the at Gold Gym Venice this past weekend when I was there. And to me, at this point in time, he doesn't look like he's in contest shape. He looks pretty big, actually. So I don't know what his strategy is at this point, but... I'm assuming he has some strategy at work.
Fish. He's getting a lot of fish.
That's not to say he's not good, but I mean, you know, I just think, you know, that's the way I see it.
Well, from the pictures you've been posting of Troy, he looks like he's almost ready to get on stage right now.
Yeah, he almost is ready to get on stage right now. You know, he almost is ready to get on stage. So, you know, it's part of it is, you know, Phoenix. It's his hometown. So I think he's, you know, way more focused than he's probably, well, not way more focused, but I think he's more focused than he even was last year. And the fact of the matter is a big part of his success last year. People asked me, what did he do different? I said, you know, he was on top of his own game, really. You know, it was he who was focused, you know, on what he needed to accomplish. So, you know, which is a big part of this. And I think he's, you know, really determined to, you know, it, you know, the stars are all lined up in that he's 43. You know, he's not getting any younger, even though he is getting better. But, you know, it's a show in his hometown.
His grandkids could watch, probably.
Huh?
His grandkids could probably go watch.
That's right.
Now, what kind of challenges does that pose to you as, you know, the coach? I mean, he's 43. So he's you know, not a kid by any standards. He's got this insane metabolism. And, you know, he seems to get bigger and improve while staying incredibly shredded. How do you manage all of that?
Yes, you know, you throw out the, you throw what you think you know, because that's the only way you can do it. I mean, he's not the only person I'm helping for the show, but he's not doing a lot of cardio. He's not doing a lot of dieting. Common sense or conventional wisdom or what I've done in the past with someone else would say, you know, you got to do more cardio, you got to keep your, you know, your calories down further. But his body just seems like since last year that, you know, it's hit a stride where it's just, you know, taking care of itself. And I think part of the success that he had last year was simply, you know, some of it was, you know, me recognizing that and saying, Troy, you know what, for whatever reason, your body's fallen together where it, you know, where everything's just falling in place. And I think you can defeat the purpose if you try to, you know, overdo the cardio, overdo the diet. And that's what he hasn't done. And it's just, you know, for him, it's working. It's odd, you know, because if you looked at what he's doing, it doesn't really make sense. So that's why I say you got to throw the playbook out or throw the, you know, just take it for what it is. And you know, he's in great, it's 4 weeks from the show roughly today and he's in great shape. So
you made a really good point though. And I think this is, you might've glanced over it a little bit, but, you know, when you get people ready, most of the time you have to really work them really hard. You have your protocol. If I train someone, I have my protocol. And you really have to implement it 100%. When you get a guy like with such great genetics, you have to, like you said, throw the rule book out the window and start improvising based on your instincts. And it almost is a little scary because you'd almost rather have it be hard. And you know, you kind of can't really go by any of your previous experiences there. It's kind of like you're in new ground, aren't you?
Yeah, it's you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, it'd be like somebody trying to teach who's got just a killer vocals and music, and then somebody, you know, who's the vocal coach trying to coach him. He'd probably have problems, you know, because, you know, it's just, you know, true genetics that Troy has, which I think, you know, I mean, he doesn't have the genetics to be gigantic or whatever, but at this point in his career, everything, you know, I have to say he's got great genetics, you know.
But he always had those genetics, and it hasn't been since, you know, you and he, you know, kind of joined forces that he's made this gigantic quantum leap forward. So, I mean, you may have thrown out the rule book, but obviously there's some, you know, there's some stratagem there that's unique.
Okay, all right. It's the pro card supplements. That's what it is. It's the creoxy pump and the noradrenaline. That's what I
knew it. Yeah, he finally tells us the truth. That's the secret. Me,
but, you know, and he's you know, 300% better than 2 years ago.
Well, you know, I knew there was something to hold him back. There always is. These guys, they don't like to tell the truth, and now he finally let it out.
And I love how Chris, you know, puts in the ad 200% better, yeah, knowing damn well it was 300.
Right. Now, let's talk about another one of your guys before we get to the rest of the guys at the Phoenix show there. But you're also helping Tarek El-Satoui again.
Yep. Yeah, Tarek looks good. He looks really good this week.
Yeah, he kind of got a rough deal, I think, last year on some of his placings. Do you think he'll be better than he was last year?
I think he will be better because you know, I think he'll be better because I just think he's better. You know, I think he'll be better. I'm trying to think of the reason why. You know, I think that he'll be better because maybe I have a little bit more experience with his body, but more important, I think he has more experience with his body.
What do you think they didn't like last year about him? What was the judge's feedback?
Because he's from, who knows, he's from Europe. tell me what they didn't like about him. I mean, you know, does he deserve to win shows? No. Does he deserve to place higher? Absolutely. You know, he should have placed higher last year in a couple shows, you know, a couple shows that he did for sure. You know, the last one, I think he was just like burnt down a little bit too much, but, you know, New York Pro, he was sixth. And there was another show, he was sixth, one of the Europas.
Yeah.
And, you know, arguably, you know, he could have been at least a couple places higher, not at least, but, you know, a couple places higher. You know, I didn't like the way the New York Pro went last year because they didn't really compare him with the first group, but when they compared him with Hyde and Silvio, you know, he was better than those two at the New York Pro, I thought, you know. Mm. So, but he's in the show, you know, he'll if he gets a look, he's going to be more than competitive, that's for sure, you know, because he can bring, you know, a dense look from the front. You know, he needs more back, but so don't a lot of guys. You know, it's not like in the show you got, you know, Kai Greens with backs and Victor Martinez, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, let me put you on the spot here and ask you a controversial question. If you put Tarek at his best against Troy at his best, who wins?
I think Troy, because it might come down to the back double. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, even though Troy don't have the thick hamstrings, he'll be conditioned enough. You know what I mean? And the back double is an important shot.
Yeah. As important as the front.
As much as density is, a lot of, you know, Tarek has a lot of quality too, but Troy's just got a lot of, you know, he's got striations. You know, a lot of bodybuilders don't have striations right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, more detail.
Yeah, a lot of detail.
Yeah, more detail. So I think it's, you know, might come down to, in those two, what do you have to look at? You know, which guy does your eye come back to at the end?
Right.
I think it might be Troy because of the stance from the front. And then he's got a couple shots that are just crazy. He's got a crazy side tricep and a crazy back double.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
You know, you need a couple crazy things to just, kind of convince a couple judges.
Yeah, to make him memorable.
You know, yeah.
Well, now a third factor in the equation is Deshaun Grimes, or Grimace, however you pronounce his name. You've sent me a few pictures of him, you know, I've seen him compete before. I watched him turn pro. He's the kind of guy who either looks incredible or he looks like shit.
That's how he's going to look in 4 weeks.
So you haven't decided which one yet?
No, I haven't. How's that? No, that's serious.
What is his potential?
One day he looks good. One day he's not so good. One day he's good. You know, it's just odd, you know.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Does he cheat on his diet?
No, I don't think so. No. I just think people's bodies, you know what I mean? I think sometimes people's bodies are like their mood. You know, 2 days they're in a great mood, 2 days they're in a lousy mood. You know, 2-3 days you look great, 2-3 days you look like not so great.
At his best, where do you think he lines up?
Boy, if he actually hits it on, you know, if he comes in really, you know, if everything just falls together, I don't know, but he's dangerous. I mean, he's thick, you know.
He doesn't have really any weak points.
No, his back lat spread's crazy, crazy, crazy right now. I mean, in terms of thickness, not condition.
Right.
And the back double, which was probably never thick in the past, it might end up being his, you know, best shot.
You know what I like about Chris, John? I got to just say this, and I'm going to say this in front of Chris. He's so freaking honest because, you know, if he doesn't feel like, you know, he can really has a full grasp on someone or that you know, he doesn't make promises. And I like that because, you know, you're right, because I've worked with a lot of people too, obviously. And sometimes you just know you're always going to nail it with one guy. And then there's guys that, like, you sit home worrying about, like, oh, my God, is it going to come together? Is it going to come together? And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, I even get worried about when I'm overconfident. And, you know, in my own brain, I think, oh, my, you know, don't get too confident. You know, someone could look incredible, and you say, what, you know, what could go wrong? What could go wrong? And you get so confident that things are looking so good, you forget to do anything.
And they get wrong, and they go wrong, yeah.
You know, then they end up looking the same as they did, you know, 9 weeks out from the show.
Right. How do you think Melvin Anthony's going to stack up in this lineup? I mean, just obviously, at his best, he's very difficult to beat, but, you know, we haven't seen him at his best lately. Did it get a mistake for him doing this show?
I don't know if it's a mistake. He's got a lot to prove. You know, and does he have? You know, I think how he ends up looking at the show depends on his mindset going into the show. You know, he just got to. You know, he didn't. Did he make top 10 at the Olympia?
I don't think so. No, I don't believe.
Well,
so.
He thinks he's a top 3 guy who didn't make top 10 at the Olympia. Yeah, so, what's that do to your mind when you're getting ready for a second tier show?
Well, you know, it seems like he's a guy who is with as seasoned as he is that he just still hasn't figured it out yet because he can't nail that consistent condition that's a winning physique. I mean, he won the Atlantic City Pro, and he looked incredible
2 years ago.
Two years ago, yeah, yep. Exactly. 2 years ago, and he, you know, a year later he couldn't repeat, and he couldn't nail it again at the Olympia. So. Here's a guy with just an amazing structure, amazing physique, tiny little waist, great potential, no weak points. He just can't get that shredded, dense, hard, grainy look to be a consistent factor in his prep.
He can't consistently get it. He did have it in Atlantic City, so I have to believe that there's a little bit of maybe, you know, laziness on his part or a lack of the right strategy, maybe.
Or could he be that sensitive that, you know, the wind could blow the wrong way and he starts holding water?
Yeah, well, who knows? You know, he's at this show, he's going to have to still stand next to Troy. And, you know, whether he believes it or not, Troy's got a smaller waist than him.
Yeah, but you know what? Troy had similar problems to Melvin, I believe.
Yeah, no, he did. He was always all over the place.
And you kind of corrected that. I mean, maybe Melvin should contact you. I mean, because you obviously solved the same problem that Sean had. I mean, that Troy had. Excuse me.
Yeah, well, you know. Let's just keep my fingers crossed for Troy. I don't want to be here on the post-radio show 4 weeks out, you know, 10 days after the show, saying, well, you know, Troy got the flu.
Yeah, right.
Stomach flu.
You ever notice? There is one guy out there whose people always get food poisoning, you know?
No, that's Kamali. He always gets the stomach flu.
No, but there's you know, there's a couple. I'm not going to mention names. There's a guy, every time his athletes don't do well, they got food poisoning.
Oh, yeah,
you
know? We know him.
Who is it?
I'm not saying that. I'm not bringing up that because I'm not going to get a phone call. But,
yeah.
Okay.
You know, there's always someone out there. What do you think about, like, a new guy like Mike Liberatore? How does he think he stacks up in this lineup?
Very good.
Yeah, you think this is a good lineup for him?
Very good. You know, he's got hard, dense muscle. I very good, actually. I don't know him, but yeah, I saw him once on your, or listened to him on your show, or somewhere on your show, and I mean, I don't think he's going to make any mistakes.
Mm. No,
he's going to be hungry. Do you think he's going to be hungrier or less hungry than Melvin?
I think he's hungrier because he needs to pay bills. Because I work with him, I know he doesn't.
Part of it, you know.
Yeah. When you got to pay bills, you become very hungry.
Yeah. Eye of the tiger.
What about a guy like I don't know if you know who he is, Stan Efferding, who's won the Masters Nationals this past year, and he calls himself the White Rhino. He's got a lot of power.
Yeah, I've never really seen his physique.
I saw him out in California. He's looking pretty
big.
Yeah,
I've never really seen him.
Big dude, power lifter.
He's both.
Yeah.
Power bodybuilder.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, you made an interesting comment to me when we were emailing each other back and forth. You said all combined, all three of your athletes are only eating 20 grams of carbs a day. Is that true? Or is that just a Blackman jab?
That was just a jab because my other jab is I think I told John, I said, you know, I can't figure it out. I'm back into training and 3 days a week I'm doing, you know, high carbs. 3 days a week I'm doing a keto diet and my upper body looks incredible, as dense as can be, and my lower body soft as, you know, soft and holding water. I can't figure if it's Dave's part of the diet that's causing my upper body to look like this in my diet.
Maybe if you switch the days around, your bodies will switch. Your upper body will get soft and your lower body will get hard.
That's the fit.
Like people ask me, what do you think of Dave's diet? And what type of question is that?
I'll
think about what?
The Fleckman motivated
fish.
Question.
What do you think about fish?
These guys gotta eat red meat. Yeah. Red meat.
Can't eat fish.
You know, one thing I don't do, I don't micromanage nothing.
You have no rules, it seems. Yeah, you have no rules.
yeah, you know, what do you think of fish? What do you mean what I think about fish? You know, you can find something good to say about, you know, any type of diet.
Right.
So
if it works, it works.
Works, right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I can't fight with the fact that Troy doesn't have to diet anymore. And that's almost like a fact now. And, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, I can't fight with the fact that, you know, Deshaun is, you know, is he going to survive to this show? You know, because he's dieting hard, you know, doing cardio hard, doing training, you know.
How much cardio?
He's doing easy 2 hours a day.
Yeah, you got to do it with these guys that are hard, that can't get in shape. You got to beat them up.
Guy, that's big.
You know what? You got to do what you got to do. That's one way I look at it.
Well, you and I are on the same page on that one. I believe in giving these guys cardio when they can't get in shape. And what else are you going to do? You can't take away all their food.
There's nothing else to do.
Right, right. Cardio is it.
And I hate cardio. You know, I mean, if you, you know, I don't know how many times I've written about it in articles or books. On paper, it stinks. You know, it shouldn't, you know, it's not that helpful for a bodybuilder. You know, I always use old-time bodybuilders as put them out front as, you know, an example. I mean, Arnold had striations and detail and Albert Beckles and Franco and all these guys way, way, way back. And they didn't do cardio, but, you know, that doesn't mean that it's not effective in a lot of people.
They trained 6 hours a day, though. That's a lot of calories they were burning.
Right.
Yeah.
You
know, guys train 20 minutes.
If that much.
That. Do you ever work with women, Chris?
No, outside of Laura, never worked with any woman.
Why is that?
Well, I married the only person I've worked with, so it might be a conflict.
It's a conflict.
And it didn't work.
You don't ever entertain the...
I like helping the guys because it's just I can let my guard down and joke around and I'm never going to get myself into any type of trouble other than maybe say the wrong thing. It just, I'm comfortable working with, you know, the guys, I guess, you know, and I've been out of it with not working with women for so long. I don't even know, you know, where to start, how I'd even go about doing it. You know, I don't even know who the women are who compete.
Yeah, he's out of that loop. He's in the men's. He just knows the men's world right now.
Right.
What did you think about Jay Cutler's victory at the Olympia?
I think it was incredible.
Was that the best Jay you've seen?
Probably the best Jay that I've seen. Or, you know, it's always hard to say which Jay is the best Jay. You know what I mean? But it was a fantastic Jay. That's for sure. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Do you think he should keep going?
That's a good, you know, yes and yeah, no, yeah, yes and no. You know, if he stops now, you have an unbelievable legacy,
right.
You know, but I don't think he's really interested too much in, I mean, you know, it depends on what your motivation is, you know. Well, if he's motivated to continue to train and knock these guys off, then why not?
Well, that was my, you know, take on it is that, you know, there's if he quits today, or this after, you know, this Olympia, there's really no other bodybuilder in history that can lay claim to such an incredible competitive legacy. Having lost the title and won it back against, you know, in an incredibly deep and competitive field. I mean, if he wins again next year, that win is not going to be as auspicious or as meaningful as this last.
Except
win.
For the $200,000 that come with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but he won that already. So I mean,
well, you want to stop winning money? You're going to stop earning at some point?
I don't think Jay would be able to not make up that $200,000 by all the other stuff he's doing. Because I mean, at some point he stops, you know, going to guest appearances. He turns down engagements, and you know, he's not able to do what he would normally do in the course of a period of time, and he could probably make that sum up. I don't think it's the money. I think moreover than anything, if you're really the bodybuilder, it's not about the money. It's about the legacy. And I don't see him ever, no matter how many more Olympias he wins, ever winning an Olympia as important as the one he just won. What do you think?
Well, that's something to take into consideration, but the flip side of that is win it again. What a legacy. You know, not only did I come back and win it, I won it twice.
Right. Who else is out there who could beat him? That's the question.
Well,
he's beatable.
Ronnie Coleman told me at the Fit Expo I was at this past weekend in L.A. that he's making a comeback and he's doing the Olympia. Do you think that Ronnie Coleman has any chance of beating Jay?
Which Ronnie Coleman are we going to look at?
That remains to be seen.
He told you that?
He told Jay. Well, yeah, Ronnie said he's doing the Olympia
this weekend.
Yep, he told me definitely 100%. Matter of fact, he hasn't trained for 3 months. He took his usual 3 months off,
right?
And he's just getting back in the training. He still looked enormous, by the way. But
right.
I guess when he takes off that time, he doesn't stop eating. He just stops training, which for him and his genetics is probably good. He probably grows. So I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, in terms of the competitors out there, I mean, if Victor Martinez is on the money, if Kai Greene is on the money, I mean, Jay could have his hands full coming up. And would you say that this last Olympia was probably the toughest for Jay in terms of getting ready?
I don't know. I don't know because I wasn't, in his corner. But, I mean, you got to look at, I think there were, I wasn't in his corner, but they've all been tough. I mean, you're chasing Ronnie Coleman, and probably the only person who thought he could ever beat Ronnie Coleman, besides me, is Jay. when Jay would articulate that, people would be like, you're out of your mind. Stop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you're up against that, too, whether you're conscious about it or not. You're still chasing Ronnie, and the fact of the matter is even judges had that in their minds.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, and they're only human just like everyone else, but in their minds, okay, Coleman's the best. That's not to say he wasn't. He was, but when you're trying to beat the best, a judge probably wouldn't even entertain the idea that anyone's going to beat Ronnie Coleman.
Sure. No, I agree with that.
So you're up against, you're up against a lot of factors that way. So those are probably tough years too.
Yeah. Well, for a magazine publisher obsessed with trying to get as much value as he can out of having signed Jay to an exclusive contract, what do you see as the best use of a Jay Cutler, considering, him, his personality, and his attributes in a publishing deal?
I don't know. I guess I'd be in publishing if, I don't know. I don't, I mean, he's got credibility. That's, a lot of bodybuilders, let's face it, they don't have much credibility, because they don't. I mean, there's some people who are, good bodybuilders that just, they don't have the, if he had the right character, amongst bodybuilders who are competing today, I don't even think outside of Jay obviously has got that locked up. That's not to say there's not a lot of other good bodybuilders who are, good character and blah, 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 blah. But, if you own a company, you're looking for the best bodybuilder and you're hoping that the guy has, is known as somebody who's, at a minimum, honest and, at a maximum, just defines what character's all about. And to me, that's Jay. So if you're someone signing him to a contract, how can you lose?
My estimate, or my, I guess I should say, recommendation would be, seeing that Conan O'Brien only has 3 shows left until he's fired, I would get him on there away if I was working with him. But let's segue a little bit. Let's talk about Pro Card Nutrition, because you've been a very loyal advertiser on our site since its inception. And what's going on with that? Where are you? Where have you been pushing the products? I mean, have you gotten into any bigger chains yet?
We're in Walmart now, and we're going into JCPenney next week. I'm just kidding. If you go to my site, procardnutrition.com, we're having, I'm putting together packages where you can buy some of the products in a bulk package and get about a 40% discount.
Wow, that's huge.
So, the fact of the matter is I started this company, and then we entered the biggest recession since your father was a little boy, probably.
Yeah, more so. Yeah, more.
To move more product, we've been, bundling up products and giving people discounts, which is, getting them to move a lot more, which I'm happy with. But, my products. I've formulated them, designed them, and I'm proud about that. People ask me about well, I don't want to get you guys sued, but something six begins with an L. No, you know, to compare with other products, to say, you know, read my noradrenaline label and read someone else's label, and if nothing else, if you can just add up the milligram dose for two capsules of mine versus two capsules of theirs, and if you know nothing else, just milligram for milligram, weigh them out and see which one's, you know, has more total milligrams in it. And then you can go buy, you know, whatever.
I always tell people to become label readers. You know, a lot of people don't read labels, and they're getting a lot less for their money than they think they are, because they're doing it because they know the name. Meanwhile, they could be getting a much better quality product that maybe they don't know the brand of, but, you know, all they had to do is read the freaking label, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm still relying on, you know, to move my product, my credibility. You know, you're not going to see ads with, you know, with chicks in it. I'm not going to use the lowest common denominator, regardless. Right. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to have appeal to people's lowest common denominator with, like...
In other words, you're not going to say something like, gain 30 pounds of muscle and lose 40 pounds of fat in an hour.
Yeah, and get every chick on the block.
Right. Yeah, right, and have like some hot chick hanging on some guy's arm.
With a chick on each side, two
girls. Get paid while doing it.
He's not going to have...
And make money doing it.
Get paid, no, get laid, say, get big, and get ripped.
He's not going to have Dark Anthony's Corvette with a hot chick in there or something like that.
Yeah.
Before we wrap this up, Chris, I assume you're going to be out in Phoenix for the show. I know you like to go out early.
In Phoenix, yep.
What day will you be getting out there?
I'm not getting out there till late because I'm actually going to. I think Tarek might come out here.
Oh, okay.
And you know, I'm going to kind of like fly. Well, I am going to fly with him to Phoenix just simply because. You know, I wouldn't want to go compete in a different country, in a different language. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's
sure,
just so
sure.
hard.
Gotcha.
So somehow I've ended up being his kind of sort of chaperone when he comes to the States.
Yeah, cool. Very good. So what you'll get in there, what, about Thursday probably?
I will get in there Thursday, yep.
All right. We have to go to, we have to take you to Heart Attack Grill they have there. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one on your website?
Yeah. I have a couple people wanted to take us out, so we got to bring you along. We got to give you. I want you to have the fucking quadruple bypass as well. So.
Who else is in the show that I should know about?
Well, I tell you, Melvin, Stan Efferding.
I don't care.
Stan Efferding, Melvin Anthony, Mike Liberatore. You got, you know, your group. You got Hide. I don't know that too many. They haven't put the list out yet. These are just people that I'm hearing.
What about DJ?
Oh,
Dennis James? I don't know. That's a good question. He might be. I don't know.
That's his hometown. What about, how about the ex?
Tony Freeman.
Oh, Tony Freeman. I'm hearing rumors that he's entering now. I don't know if that's a good idea or not because, you know, I haven't heard much from Tony. Usually I get a lot of feedback and get pictures, you know. I have a feeling Tony, after winning that Sacramento Pro Show at probably 90% of his best, thinks now that that's good enough to win these shows. I hope he doesn't make that mistake and come in, you know, a little off, thinking that bigger is better. Because I think, you know, with all these guys, I know that you're working with, I got a couple guys, conditioning, it seems like it's going to take this show, in my mind.
Well, who are you working with so I can jinx them?
Liberatore, that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Tony, you know, keep in mind, Tony just last year was fourth in the Atlantic City.
Right. No, was that?
So,
that was 2 years
being,
ago.
Anything can happen. 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, but he was. Well, he didn't do that well at the
really
Olympia.
Yeah. The year he got, what, fifth in the Olympia, he was fourth at the. Was that the year?
Yes. True. Yeah.
So, I mean, the reason I bring that up is, you know, anyone's. Not everybody's super dangerous, but, you know, if you're not at your best, you know, anything can happen.
True. Sure. I think it's going to be a good show. I think a lot of people are going to start jumping in at the last minute, and it is 2 weeks before the Arnold. I mean, it's not like it's a big deal to peak for two shows. I know these guys make it seem like it's impossible, but you and I both know it's sometimes you get better. Flex Wheeler did it for years, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of those guys did.
So, all right, but we'll see you out in Phoenix, Chris. Keep us updated. Keep putting those great pictures up of all your athletes on the site, and appreciate the support.
All right, good.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught. Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net, DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right, for a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Ah! Pump up and shred down with 4 great G-A-T products. Pre-workout Jet Fuse and OX. For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights. Post-workout Jet Mass. After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover. Premium protein, Muscle Teen. Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training. Shred and burn under Jet Fuel Pyro. Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at teamgat.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit isatoritech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
All right, our next guest is the 2009 NPC Masters Nationals overall champion. He's currently preparing for his pro debut in Phoenix next month. I'd like to welcome the White Rhino, Stan Efferding. Welcome.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, now we just saw each other out at Gold's Gym Venice there, California, and you were training pretty hard in the gym with Charles Glass. Now, is this a new relationship, or was it a one-day type of affair type thing?
Oh, we go back. You know, Charles used to train Flex and the guys back in the day, and so there's always been a good relationship there, and we've been down there a few times. Charles has always been gracious about taking us through a workout and talking to us, and so we like to get down there when we can. Flex was out of town for the weekend, so we didn't get the chance to bring him along, but it was a good workout.
You know, who normally, I know you've moved out of your lap of luxury house to the San Jose area to be training with Flex Wheeler on a regular basis, work on your posing, getting ready for this Phoenix Pro Show coming up next month. Does Flex do everything for you? Does he do diet, training, and posing prep?
Yeah, Flex has been, he has access to a lot of resources, and he's trained with a lot of people over the years. And so, you know, we collaborate together. I studied exercise science in college. I trained professional athletes. I've been training for 20 years. So I bring a lot of knowledge to the table. Flex, of course, has been around the block more than a few times. So he brings a lot of knowledge. And we work together on a lot of this stuff. And then I reach out for information. You know, Dave, you've always been helpful. And we talk about, every chance I get about anything I need to know about. And my workout I did down there was with Dave Kalick, who's he's just brilliant on diet and supplementation, and so it's always nice to check in with him. Flex has a lot of resources. You know, he used to train with Chad, right? And so we've just we've been able to, you know, we've sat down with Hani, you know, they're friends, Flex and him, and Keith and us, and Keith's worked with you in the past. So, we've just kind of gotten all the information we can possibly get, plus what we've learned over the years, and we try and hone that down into one plan and, and work hard to reach our goals.
And that's smart. I mean, you're not using one person. You're kind of reaching out to all the resources, taking what you like from what you hear, incorporating into your regimen. But it's Keith and Flex Wheeler have some kind of like an arrangement. A lot of people see you guys together at all the shows. I know you train together. You all go out to San Jose together. How did that whole relationship develop?
You know, Keith won the Mr. Minnesota, which was Flex's show
right.
The year before last.
Mm-hmm.
And then Keith and I flew out to meet Flex to train with him, and we just hit it off right away. We've just got good synergy. We're all good friends now. We're, because they're each other family, and we push each other real hard, and we utilize all the resources we have available to us. So I don't know if you'd call it an arrangement. It's more of a synergy, and we've worked real hard together and had great success together. So I'm just willing to keep doing that as long as it's successful for us.
Sorry, it ain't broke, so you don't want to try to fix it, in other words.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Now, Stan, the last time, I talked to you anyway, we were at the Olympia, and that whole World's Strongest Bodybuilder thing was going on. And you were very vocal about that was all about. And and every right to be, because you had just set the raw powerlifting total, and had issued and gone up on stage and had issued a challenge to anyone who would break your record that you would hand over the keys to this giant, highly modified $100,000+ Hummer.
That's right.
Is that I would imagine you still have the keys to that thing at this point.
Yeah, surprisingly so. Johnny didn't go out the next weekend and beat that total. even though I told him it was his if he could, and he said, done, but I don't know what that meant. He's done, it's done, and I don't know what it meant. But
so no one's beat the total. Yeah, no one's beat the total.
See, you still have the... Is that offer still stand?
Offer still stands, and the offer is, let me clarify, any IFBB pro bodybuilder who competes in a professional bodybuilding show within 1 year can enter any powerlifting meet in the country. I told Johnny he could go down to a powerlifting meet in his city or in any state on any given weekend, as long as it's sanctioned and judged, and put up a raw total of better than 2,221 pounds, and I'll give him my car. And he said, no problem. But I haven't seen him enter any meets. So. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you go,
Well, I love you guys. We go, I've followed you guys for years and years, and we have a good relationship, I think. But I was listening to Johnny's interview. Well, first, you guys talked about the World's Strongest Pro Bodybuilder prior to it.
Sure.
And John weighed in, and he said, until they've competed against each other, then we really don't know who's the strongest. And of course, I took issue with that because, Usain Bolt's the world's fastest man, but would you say until he ran against Johnny that we really don't know if he could beat Johnny?
That's true. You had a point
there.
My
raw total beat Johnny by more than 200 pounds of anything he's ever put up in a raw powerlifting meet, so it was obvious to me. But nonetheless, I'm still excited about competing against him this fall, but I wanted to open it up to everybody. I think there's a lot of other folks out there who'd be great to see.
Well, we're about to talk about that a little bit, but let's just segue a little bit here to what's going up coming up next month, because now you're into the whole bodybuilding mindset. I noticed your training has changed quite a bit. Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing now with bodybuilding that's different from the way you train for powerlifting.
So you baited me in by getting me to run my mouth about powerlifting, and now I'll probably be standing next to Johnny in a month on
right,
a bodybuilding.
Exactly.
Stage,
that,
right?
That's exactly.
You guys are some sneaky bastards, I'll tell you what.
That's why they pay us no money.
That's why we make no money.
I'm not scared. It's what I do. I competed in probably 30 shows between 1988 and 1997 in bodybuilding, so it's comfortable for me. It's old hat. Got back into it a few years ago, and I've never claimed to be the world's best bodybuilder. But I've worked hard, and I've always come in extraordinary shape. I'm going to be well conditioned, and I'm going to be 6 foot, probably close to 270 on stage. And I think that's formidable. I'm not going to have the shape of some of those guys. Names are escaping me now, but there's a couple front runners there that like Troy Alves or Melvin Anthony. Some of those guys have got the they got some great shape. That's going to be hard to beat, but If a guy doesn't come in shape, he's going to be standing next to me, a lot of muscle and really hard. So, you know, I might be able to knock some folks off. So I'm working hard to do that.
It would probably be a good feather in your cap, too, if you beat Johnny Jackson. I don't know if he's going to be there, but I heard some rumors that possibly he might be.
Yeah, you know, and that's not my only goal. I want to be the best I've ever been, you know, I want to be able to do well. You know, hopefully Johnny comes in and in good shape and it becomes a good war. That'd be great.
Now, is this going to be your only bodybuilding show of the year? Because then you're going to focus on the powerlifting, or are you going to do a few more shows?
It'd be hard for me, I think, because as soon as this is over, I want to go back and try and beat that all-time world record set in 1972 in raw powerlifting. I was 29 pounds short, but I want to try and beat that. And immediately following that, I think I'll only be a couple, 3 months away from the Olympia World's Strongest Bodybuilder. So I don't think that leaves time for another show, to die down for another show, but possibly early next year I'll be jumping back into, I think, didn't Robin Chang start up a Flex Classic? In place
next year.
Next year. So that might be something I'll do early next year.
So now, when will you start prepping for the World's Strongest Bodybuilding Contest, or will that sort of be kind of in conjunction with your powerlifting prep?
I think it'll all be part of what I do in the off season. Johnny and I train pretty similar, you know, heavy. I change things up 2 months out or 10 weeks out pre-contest you know, for bodybuilding, because I don't have the roundness. You know, Johnny's got great roundness to his muscles, and I've never developed that, so I've been working hard to try and put more pump and more volume in my body.
Now, what's up for grabs this year? Are the prizes increased? Is it, you know, more prestige? What's up, and who's entering, and what do you know
about
it?
World's Strongest Bodybuilder?
Yeah.
Well, I know that, I think that some sponsors came to the table. Inzer was the big sponsor last year, I believe, and I think he put up the 10 grand. I put up 10 grand of my own money, so the prize is 20, and I think it's going to be 15 to the winner, 2,500 to the biggest bench, 2,500 to the biggest dead. And that's so far, but, you know, MuscleTech's been running ads all over the news in the magazines about their World's Strongest Bodybuilder guy, Johnny, and, so far, they haven't put their money where their mouth is. I think the ante's 10 grand, and they should probably put up or shut up. I think it should be a $30,000 deal. They should at least match what I'm putting in, don't you think?
Yeah, I would think so.
Considering you're a contestant, yeah. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
You might be, but you might just be worth more than MuscleTech. So you know, they don't think it's fair.
No, I'm gonna go there.
Speaking about money and stuff like that. Now, you had a pretty, I guess, popular video you had put up on some of the websites out there. I know it's been circulating all over the place about your Stan Efferding's crib that he lives in there. Now, which house was that they showcased?
That's my house. I live in Tacoma, south of Seattle there.
Mm-hmm. The one on the water?
That's my home. Yeah, the one on the water. I haven't been there too much in the last 7-8 months, you know, because I've been training with Flex. I went to Sacramento and powerlifting. Now I'm back in San Jose. So it's been a long time.
Why would you want to leave that house ever?
Well, you and I talked about this, and it's hard to live that kind of life and then put yourself through the kind of pain and torture that it takes to compete in this industry. So I actually enjoy getting down to my little 400-square-foot extended stay and getting my head in the game. And I then go to the gym, and I can squat until my nose bleeds and, you know, roll around on the floor and sweat and feel like that's where I'm at. And I don't have anything comfy, you know, to distract me from that. So it's easier for me to stay focused if I'm in the moment.
You get your Rocky thing going on that way.
There you go.
Now, how many homes do you actually own?
Well, I have two homes, one up there in Tacoma, and I have one on the other side of the lake that is a guest house. And then I have a subdivision, which was an investment property. It's the only real estate I have left. I sold just about everything else before the market crashed, fortunately.
Smart, man.
Down in Oregon, where I went to college in Eugene, we built a 28-home subdivision. We still got about a dozen of those left. We're still trying to sell, and you know how the market is. So.
Sure. Now, did you tell me you had a house someplace else? No?
Oh, a condo down in Panama.
Yes, that's right.
When I was running my phone company, I started a call center down there, and so I purchased a condo down in Panama. It was a beautiful spot overlooking the Panama Canal and the city. And
Panama the country, not Panama, Florida.
Right, Panama the country.
I wonder if
right.
Mr. G's the guy who's rebuilding the Panama Canal knows stand down there. How many cars are you currently driving?
I just got one down here in San Jose, and then my car's at home, you saw in the video there.
What do you got, like five?
Still up there, are still back home. I think it's something like that. Mm. I don't know.
Do you like when you do you like lend them out to your friends and stuff like that?
I get asked every now and then. I sure there's some borrowing going on.
Like, you know, if your friend's like, man, Stan, I got this hot date. You know, I got my piece of shit. I'm driving. Can I borrow the Mercedes for the night?
I'd have to say that's happened once or twice. Yeah.
John would be in your garage all the time if he was living there.
I'd do the same thing.
You don't have anything really exotic, though. I'm surprised at you. You know, I thought you'd have some. You know, some.
He can't fit into anything small.
Yeah, you could. I mean, you know, you got football players and basketball players fitting in Lambos and Ferraris. I mean,
I know. I bought one of those Corvette Z06s or whatever a couple years ago. And that's the problem. You get in and out of those things is a chore. And then, of course, everybody teases you about the old fuzzy dice and gold chain. And John, button up down to your belly button with your chest hair hanging out. So I started to get the midlife crisis syndrome, so I sold it.
You know, I watched Stan try to get into the vertical leg press, or I better out of the vertical leg press after Charles made him do like 500 reps. He couldn't do it. Couldn't move.
I cramped. My hip cramped. He had to put me on a different machine. That thing's that's for little people.
That's suicidal.
I think that machine is the most lethal machine ever created.
It's dangerous.
And it's sad because I love that machine. You know, it's awesome, but I can't get in it.
I don't like having that weight over my head. It's just too scary.
I know so many people have hurt themselves.
And Ron Norman tore.
I know guys have blown their discs out on that machine. That's a lethal machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd stay out of that thing if I were you. Now, I know all our female listeners who just listened to the whole house and the car thing want to know, are you dating anyone, engaged, married? You have a girlfriend, I think, don't you?
No, I'm not married. I see a girl back home, back in Seattle. She's not happy with me for being out of town for 7-8 months.
I was going to ask you that.
I take a little beef, but I make sacrifices to do what I need to do. It's been a long road, but it's been successful. I'm happy to have the pro card and to be competing at this level, so it's worth it to me.
So are you on or off the market? Are you like the most eligible bachelor in bodybuilding?
No. I'm off the market. Right. I'm not trying to do all that. All right. I'm an old guy. I'm not going to put any miles on this old jalopy. I'm 42 now. So.
Hey, you're not old. Take it easy, man.
You're the youngest guy in this group.
Actually, we're tied, him and I.
Yeah, when we get this age, we just talk a lot.
That's right. Yeah. It's a lot easier.
Let chest puffing.
Right.
Now, what are you going to be heading into Phoenix earlier, or are you going to go in there the last minute? When are you? Or I know you like to get there and acclimate, and set up shop.
I did for the Pittsburgh because it was a bit of a trek. I got in there a few days early and brought all my cooking stuff. But Phoenix is only an hour from San Jose or so, so I'm going to jump down there. I'm going to be all ready. I'm jumping there Friday afternoon, and then be ready to go Saturday morning. So it'll be a short trip for me.
All right. Well, Stan, keep up the good work. We did a great In the Iron Asylum training with you in the gym with Charles Glass, and that will be going up probably either Monday night or Tuesday. So all the fans out there who want to see Stan training legs with Charles, tune into that, and I appreciate you doing that with us. And anything we can do for you, keep us updated on your progress.
Cool. Hey, before we go, remember, that we're going to open that competition up to any IFBB pro that competes in a pro show and within 1 year of the show. And so I've been shopping around on the internet and in the magazines and stuff. And we got this new guy, this big Brit that just turned pro.
Zach Kahn.
Yeah. I looked on the internet, and he's a beast. That dude's like 310 pounds. I saw him put up incline press like 500 pounds for a double or something.
We got to get him in the competition.
Yeah, I think somebody should reach out there. You guys get a hold of him and start talking to him. See if we want to do the Rhino versus King Kong.
That's right. Well, you have a good relationship with Robin Chang now. I think he works for Weider. Yeah, you should have Robin give him a call get him in there.
That's the plan. But you guys are more controversial.
So. That's true, yeah. We burn more bridges. That's true. We'll call him up and get in trouble.
Well, we actually were the guys who got... We were the first interview that he did when he won the Brits. I mean, we got him actually... He stepped off the stage and onto the phone. And so we were fortunate to get that interview. So he's definitely a friend of ours. But unfortunately, the way this industry is structured, we're not allowed to talk to him. So
everybody's got their fiefdom, done.
That's right. Exactly. So you do have a relationship with where he's at now, and certainly we can put a call into Robin Chang and see if he'd be up for it. But cool. definitely he's a guy to be in that competition.
Imagine the Rhino versus King Zach Kahn versus Ben White, who's training like a maniac now. He just pulled 700 raw the other day. And
you know, if Ben gets that pull up to 750, he can beat Johnny, too, because his bench is 70, 80, 90 pounds bigger than
No,
Ben,
it is. So. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Actually, his bench was really bad that day. You know,
he hit 600. Yeah.
He's hit 600 numerous times. So
raw. And he could probably push 6.25, 650 in that shirt.
In that shirt.
I think the shirt was bothering him.
Possibly.
Now, is this competition going to be raw, the one at the Olympia?
You know, I'm not making that call.
Okay.
It doesn't matter to me. Whatever they do, I'll do.
All right.
It doesn't matter to me, don't mind
wearing a shirt?
No, I don't care. Okay. I never wear one, but I don't care. And matter of fact, I could probably lift more raw than Johnny does geared anyhow, so I might just do that for, you know.
Well, you know, another guy...
Go ahead.
Another good guy you can get in that mix is if he turns pro at the USA is Robert Bernacca, who's another freak. You know,
I was about to say, let's cross our fingers that he doesn't turn pro. That guy's a freak.
Well, yeah. you want a good competition. You're not afraid of anyone, right?
Yeah, you're right. Let's hope Robert gets in there.
You said it yourself. You don't want to win against schlocks. You want to win against the best.
There you go.
Those were your words last time we had you on.
Yeah, we know he's good. I think that'd be a great challenge.
Yeah, it would be great.
I mean, there's a lot of freaks. I mean, Bernacca, Zach Kahn, and efforting alone are like the three of the biggest guys in the fucking whole industry.
Yeah.
And then you get, you know, Johnny, who's the champion now, and Ben White, who's got the biggest mouth. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
I think that'd be fun. I think that would be a show in and of itself. We won't do any of that shirted stuff in the middle. We'll just do all this bench and all this deadlifting and... Yeah. Make party out of it.
Yeah, it would be really funny if you just refuse the shirt, you know. Johnny wears the shirt and then you just take yours off and say, fuck, I don't need the shirt.
Do it like bare chested, you know.
But that might happen.
You did tell me they're gonna give a grand prize, but then they're also gonna give for each best lift they're gonna give an award too, right?
Yeah, I think currently the breakdown's $15,000 for the winner and then $2,500 for the biggest bench, $2,500 for the biggest dead, and then if Muscle Tech wants to jump in there and pony up and match what I put in, then we'll break it up a little different, I'm sure. It's not my call, but that's what I've heard so far.
I think it's a great idea. The irony is that there's more money at this event than there is at any other pro show aside from the Arnold and the Olympia.
I know. It's exciting. It's exciting. And you know, the powerlifters back there just screaming and squealing like stuck pigs, too, you know. Let me in.
Yeah, that man that you won't go against them, I know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will, but in a different venue. But sure. I'm not going to put up $10,000 to compete against a powerlifter when only 12 people come watch a powerlifter.
Well, now, there's a good point right there, Stan.
Well, that's the point. Is that nobody's going to show up and watch me compete against a powerlifter. I beat the number one raw powerlifter in the world. There were 30 people came to the event.
Well, you know, to my point is that you guys being bodybuilders, this being the bodybuilding show of the year, I mean, why is it held in the corner of a storeroom? I mean, it should be, I mean, don't you think this competition should be held on stage? I mean, as an intermission or, you know, at the expo at least? I mean, at least somewhere where the bodybuilding audience can see it.
In prime time at the expo.
Prime time, where the bodybuilding audience can see it.
No, but it was. I mean, it was on the same stage they did the 202s and the women's, right?
Right.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they did it at the end of the day.
Yeah, it was during a powerlifting part. It was just not positioned, I don't think. It was positioned as well as it could have been for the caliber of contest that it was.
Yeah, it might. You know, it was its first year, and who knew how it was going to go off. But what we found is that there wasn't an empty seat, and it was standing room only, all in the back. It was well participated. I think people were excited to watch, and you know, I'm the first one to admit that none of those people or half those people wouldn't have been there if it hadn't been for the big names, Ben and Johnny.
Right.
You know, and now I've probably run my mouth enough to where some folks want to come see me join in too next year.
Sure, they're gonna love to see you either fail or win, you know, so it doesn't matter what they come for, they're gonna come no matter what.
Yeah, love me or hate me, right. I think that we'll get some people to show up. But same deal, you know, if it wasn't for the, you know, the big names, you know, we're not gonna fill an auditorium. So yeah. But I would like to see it. You know, some people talked about maybe having it in the main at the main Olympia stage.
That's what I want.
That's where it should be.
Yeah. I don't know if it would would it be as well attended or not? I thought that there were a lot of people who showed up to that one at the Expo.
Well, you know, they in at the Arnold, they have, you know, they have the Arnold Classic. And then they right afterwards they have the finals of the strongman.
Well, what about start the thing early?
They can
and
start,
with the,
yeah.
with the powerlifting, you know, start instead of starting at 7 o'clock, start at 6 o'clock.
Sure,
do the powerlifting first. I guarantee every seat will be packed in that place.
Yeah, well, we might get a more prime time stage presence this year because it was such a big hit, and there's so much momentum leading up to this year. I'll bet that'll happen.
Yeah, you're right. I sure hope so.
But I'm like you guys. I don't care what happens. I want as many people to be interested in and to participate as possible.
Right. Agreed.
That's what makes it fun.
You're right. Well, Stan, thanks for. I know you're on your way home. I think are you driving home or are you flying?
I'm up at LAX. Yeah, I'm going to fly home.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking time out, and we'll put that video up in the next day or two, and keep us updated if anything comes up. Otherwise, we'll see you out in Phoenix.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for everything this weekend, Dave. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Stan.
Take care, Stan.
All right, guys.
Wow, Stan is. Certainly kind of high confidence level, and he's a very well-spoken guy, and he's got a lot of money. And you know what? I think this is unprecedented, Dave. Here you have a competitor, a participant, a contestant who's putting up, who's matching the prize money. He's putting $10,000 of his own money up.
Yeah.
And then the sponsor of the guy who was allegedly or currently holds the crown of the world's strongest
bodybuilder
is not putting up any money.
Well, I think that they're going to feel pressure to do it, and I hope they do, because then that's going to raise all the prize money up. This is going to be a huge event. Pretty soon, every guy who's a pro bodybuilder who's strong is going to want to enter this thing for the possibility of walking home with some cash. I mean, it's almost better than doing the Olympia, because there's only going to be so many top five Olympia guys, you know?
You know, I think this could possibly be a situation where we're witnessing the genesis of a real revolution in how bodybuilding contests are perceived and judged, because it's very difficult for a person who's not familiar with bodybuilding to really understand why somebody is winning when 100% of the judging is subjective. If there's a way where you can integrate a strength component to...
Yeah, I don't think that'll ever happen, though.
Well, it's happening. I mean, here you've got...
Right, but they're not going to combine the physique with the strength, do you?
I'm not saying they could combine it, but I'm saying you're having a bodybuilding strength exhibition held in conjunction with the Olympia.
Right.
So now you're actually lending credence to the fact that here's this big guy who wins a show. Now he's going into another segment of the competition where he's competing for strength.
Right.
Granted, you're not going to be in that condition when you're competing for strength, but I think... you know, the fact that you're having pro bodybuilders exhibit feats of strength are sort of legitimizing the beauty aspect of it.
Without a doubt. There's actually a functionality.
Right, a functionality to that muscle.
Well, you know, look, Stan is a marketing genius. I really believe he is. I think he gets it like we do, in the sense that, you know, it doesn't have to be WWE, but there has to be some dramatic tension. There has to be some entertainment value to the whole bodybuilding sport, or it gets boring. I mean, the fact that he comes on our show, okay, to do and to promote what he's doing just goes to show you that he knows of all the shows he's going to go on, he's going to get the most publicity from ours because we get what he's doing, you know.
Could you imagine if Vince McMahon had these tools to work with? Here you've got one guy who's a pro bodybuilder who claims the title of world's strongest bodybuilder.
He doesn't claim it,
prior to the last competition, he claimed the title. Another guy, pro bodybuilder, claiming that was bullshit, he could beat him. Then you have another guy, pro bodybuilder, who's saying, wait, I already own the title of world's strongest bodybuilder, you know, who's willing to put up his car and his own money to match anybody. These are the kinds of, you know, components that make that kind of controversy and you know, the kind of thing that WWE is famous for.
Oh, without a doubt. I 100% agree with you.
We just need that kind of, you know, thought process and vision to go along with what we have here to make this all it can be.
I think it's going to happen, John. I really believe it's going to happen. I believe that this year's World's Strongest Bodybuilder competition is going to be the most well-received. I think Robin Chang understands that it's got to be promoted on the main stage. I believe he will promote it or at least at a better time at the Expo, not right before the men's finals where everyone's got to run out of there to go see the event. And I guarantee, because of that, you're going to get even more sponsors the next year and more people. It's going to become a prestige. I don't think a lot of people, if we didn't put up our own video of what we did, Mm-hmm. No one would even know that Johnny Jackson won the thing.
Right, right.
So, and then we got yelled at for putting it up too. So,
but, well, you know, that's, you know, Robin Chang is a, you know, he's a great guy. He's very bright and good at what he does. And he's got an awful lot to deal with on that weekend in Vegas. And this was the first year, last year was the first year they had this. I think he still pulled it off and did a great job. He actually, you know, it did happen. A winner was crowned. The money was raised. It was given out. All in all, it has to be looked at by any measure as a success. And I know that he's going to take what he learned last year and make it bigger and better this year. So I'm hoping that we have a little more access. We're not going to get yelled at for covering this. And, you know, we're going to have we'll be live by the time the Olympia goes on and have certainly a better venue to showcase a news type coverage of such an auspicious event. And I think this is going to be a real important and pivotal contest held in conjunction with bodybuilding. This is, I think, a really big thing.
I think that it might be one of the most exciting events of the Olympia. You know, last year was exciting because Jay Cutler was making his comeback. Now he reestablished himself. He won the crown. What's really going to happen this year that's going to be any more exciting than next year? To me, it's this World's Strongest Bodybuilding competition. Unless
you got Ronnie Coleman showing back up.
Yeah, but you know, realistically, Ronnie probably will not be a factor in the title, although he could possibly make the top five.
I wouldn't underestimate Ronnie Coleman.
But, you know, who knows? But I think, you know, if Robert Brnaka turns pro at the USA and you throw him into the mix with Zach Kahn, efforting Johnny Jackson and Ben White, I think we got
it's an event that cannot be ignored. No. Put it that way.
But you know what? Just the sheer freaky muscle in the event itself. We should talk to all these guys and you know they should be tanned up. They should have their own little outfits. They should walk out to their own theme music.
Right. I mean,
they should really WWE it up. They should contact Vince McMahon's people and have them put the whole event on.
Maybe we should call Triple H and see if we can say, hey, look, this is what we have to work with. Can you help us out here?
It would be awesome. It would be fucking awesome.
Be incredible. So.
Yep. Anyway, all right, let's wrap this show up. We had two great guests. Chris Aceto, always a pleasure to get on this show.
Yeah.
He's always got a very strong opinion about everything.
And a strong dose of sarcasm.
And his sarcasm is right up there with ours. He hangs mano a mano. So thanks for that. We'll see both of them. We'll see Stan Efferding and Chris Aceto both at the Phoenix Pro Show in less than 5 weeks from today in Phoenix, Arizona. For now, we're out of time. Remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.